Let's start. We don't start any service here without reading under the direction of the Holy Spirit, because I want to get into this word. Amen. Let's turn to John's Gospel, the third chapter. John's Gospel, the third chapter, and I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along. And like, as we said, we don't start any service without reading this. Amen. If someone's next to you and doesn't have a Bible, please let them look on with you, because I want everyone to see it and to read it. Amen? And no matter what version you have, read it with me. Is everyone there? Okay, I heard no. Okay, are you there now? All right, good. Now let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that good? That is what I call the heart of the gospel. Amen? In other words, if you don't know anything in the Bible, if you know John 3:16 and share that with someone, that's all you need to share. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, what I like to do is, in my sessions, I like to start us off with a little confession, right? Because confession is good for the soul. That's what some people say, right? But also, a confession a day keeps the devil away. All right? And also, it's good for us to build ourselves up. So say this with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way. God's way is my way. Every day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God. And not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. My heart is established in God's holy word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent of anything I find out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to your power that is at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you receive it?
Yes.
Then it's yours. Amen?
Yes.
Now, when I was with you the past sessions that I've been with you, and I've been fortunate, and I want to thank, first of all, my pastors, Pastor Sarah Utterbach, Pastor Ed Funstein, and Pastor Gregory Carr, for the opportunity to stand before you this morning, right? And I'd like to thank you for being here and receiving what we have to share. When I was with you over the past few sessions, just to recap, remember we were talking about walking in the light, right? And remember we discovered in that session that walking in the light really meant walking in the Word of God, okay? And then another session that I had an opportunity to share with you, we went a little further, right? We found out that walking in the Word entails, or the responsibility of walking in the Word is that we walk in the love of God. See, because if we're not walking in the love of God, then we're not walking in the light. If we're not walking in the light, we're not walking in what? The Word. We're not walking in love. Right. Very good. My students are still here. Amen. So what I want us to do this morning, in continuing in that same thought of that series, let's turn to John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter of John's Gospel. And while you're turning there, I just want to share something with you. Chapter 14, 15, 16 is really, just to give you an overview of it for time's sake, Jesus is really, he's getting ready to go. The Lord Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, right? And he has these disciples with him, these 12 men. And what he's trying to do and what he was endeavoring to do was showing them the things concerning the kingdom of God, right? But now, as we're looking in this chapter, the 15th chapter, Jesus is going to start to begin to share with them some principles, some important principles that they would need to grasp. Because shortly, right after this, he was going to go to the cross. And then after that, he was going to raise from the dead and then later ascend, right? But he wanted them to know some important things. So when we're looking at the 15th chapter of John, what we're really looking at for us this morning, we're looking at something important that our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, is trying to get across to us. Amen? So now, with that in mind, we're in John chapter 15. Let's read verses 1 through 8, okay? Now, I have the King James Version, but I'd like for you to read along with me with your version. Amen? Is everyone there? John 15? Chapter 15, verse 1 through 8. Okay, now, who's speaking in this text? How do you know? It's red. It's not a typo, right? In other words, the red letter indicates that this is Jesus really speaking, okay? So now, let's see what he has to say. Let's read. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth, what? More fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So this morning, church, continuing in our lesson of walking in the light, this morning, we're going to look at a topic that I'm entitling this morning, bearing fruit. Say that. Say bearing fruit. Okay. Now, I have a question for you this morning as we're starting this lesson. Here's my question. Really two of them, but I'm going to ask you the first one. How many of you desire to bear fruit? Let me see the hands. I don't see some hands. Okay, put your hands. Okay, good. That's one of those questions that everyone should. That way you can check if someone's sleeping too. Okay, here's a second question. How many of you desire to bear more fruit? Right? We all, and I think we're all in agreement with that, right? We all want to bear fruit, and we want to bear more fruit, right? Well, the first thing I want to encourage you in, I want you to think about this, because I know real quick when you heard that term, and Jesus talking about bearing fruit, immediately you started thinking about the things you're doing, right? And you thought about, well, I do this, I do that. But what I want you to do is let's not think about what it is you're doing right now or what you've done and try to evaluate, well, you know, am I bearing fruit? Am I fruitful? Whatever. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to look in God's Word. We're going to see what the Word of God has to say about it. Okay? Everyone follow me on that? So that way we don't evaluate it by, you know, some guys think, and I'll just tell you this for a reason. Some people think, well, I go out on 125th Street in Harlem, and I got my Bible in my hand, and I'm shouting out to the crowd, and that's fruit, okay? So I'm not judging that, but I'm just trying to show you. That's not what we're talking about, okay? But we're going to look and see here in the Word of God what God's Word has to say about this, amen? Now, the thing that I want you to look at as we've read these passages, Jesus said three things. He described three things in that passage that we read, has he not? The first thing he said was what? He's what? I am the true vine. Right? So in other words, if he says, I am the true vine, that means there's a lot of vines out there, right? But Jesus said, I am what? The true vine. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, don't turn there, but just make reference to this. Jesus said what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except he come by me. So here, Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, right? Now, what's the second thing he talked about? He talked about who? The Father. And what did he liken the Father to? The husbandman. Now, what's another name for husbandman? A gardener? Vine dresser? Who else? A farmer, right? Someone who tends to something, right? Now, and then he said a third element. What was the third thing? He said, no, he's the vine, the Father is the husbandman, the farmer, and we are what? The branches. So in other words, each and every believer is a branch. Now, if you ever noticed this, I mean, you know, I grew up in a urban setting, but even urban guys know this, that branches produce what? Leaves. But what grows off of the leaves? Fruit, right? Everyone got that? So now, let's follow this. Now, keep this in mind. Jesus is giving these three things. He's the true vine. The Father is what? The gardener, or the husbandman, or the farmer, or the vine dresser, right? And we are the branch. Now, let me read that in the Amplified, verse 2. Listen to what he says in the Amplified. He says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts it away and trims it off and takes it away. He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Now, who's the one's going to cut away things? Who? The Father, right? All right, good. Now, let me read that in the J.B. Phillips translation. I'm just giving this the same second verse. He says, he removes all the branches that are not bearing fruit. Now, I want you to think about that. Think about your life for a moment. You know, all of us, and we've all been there. You know, before you've come to Christ, or even now that you're in Christ and you're learning to grow in Christ, there are things in your life that need to be cut out. You need to cut them out. Like for me, you know, when I have difficulty putting my pants on and buttoning it up, it's time to do what? Exercise, but what else? Cut out something, right? Sorry, Sharon, I can't eat the sweet potato cake. No, you got to cut out some things. See, so in other words, in the natural, you know there's certain things in your life that you need to cut out. Okay? But then there's things that the Father knows because he desires us to bear fruit, that he's going to take some things away. You know, one of the things that was interesting to me when I first came to Christ, and I think I shared this before, but I'm just going to share it again. The first thing that came to me, they said, well, now that you're a Christian, now that you're saved, you can't drink beer no more. Well, you and one of the other ladies in the church, they said, you really shouldn't. Now, here's what they said. You really shouldn't drink beer anymore, right? Okay, you really shouldn't drink beer anymore. Now, here, now listen. I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, I don't see nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with, you know, that was me then, not now. But here's what happened. And I shared it in other messages. Remember I told you a series of things that happened that God got my attention. But then I began to realize that if I want to walk with Christ, you know, there's no such thing as a beer-drinking Christian. I know down in the South they talk about, I'm just a beer-drinking Christian. No. You can't do that. See, I couldn't continue down there. If I'm going to walk with Jesus, I had to say goodbye to some of those things. Okay? And then there are some things in our lives that you may look at and say to yourself, well, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. But if the Father walks in your house, let's say like if this is your house, and the Father walks in, right, God the Father, he walks in and sees this chair. And he says, this chair's got to go. So guess what? The chair's going, right? Because remember this, the Father's going to prune us. He's going to take things that are not productive. He's going to take away from us. And what's the purpose? So that we can do what? Bear fruit. See, now how many, I know you guys up here, you know, in Pennsylvania, and you have trees, right? Bushes, roses, and all those things. if you got a tree and the limbs are dead and nothing's growing on it, what do you have to do? You have to cut it off. Why? To make room for growth. You got it? So there may be some things in your life that you may think, hey man, why do I have to stop that? Or sometimes it could be just a mindset, your attitude towards things. You follow what I'm saying? It, no matter what it is, he's going to take those things away from you, not because he wants to see you suffer, but he wants you to do what? Bear more fruit. Okay? Now let's keep on going in this lesson. Okay? Because I got everybody's attention. So in other words, the Father is going to do what? He's going to prune us, right? So now here, listen to what pruning, here's a definition of pruning. Well, I got purge here too. It says to rid of whatever is impure or undesirable, to cleanse, to purify, to get rid of, to clear or be free from, okay? To remove by cleansing or purifying, okay? But now, notice what he said. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, the husbandman, God the Father, takes away, right? And every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes it. And we just discussed it. Why would he continue to prune a branch that's producing? What? So you can produce more fruit. Now, you know what? Like I said, once again, I'm an urban guy. And I went to an apple orchard in Rockland County. And I noticed these apple trees. I'm figuring if you got to get a lot of apples, the tree got to be big, right? But not necessarily. They got these small trees. But what it is there's a lot of apples on it. And what they do is this. Every so often, the gardener, the husbandman, the farmer will go by and cut certain branches. And he cuts them for a reason. He cuts them why? So that they can produce what? More fruit. Now, I want you to think about your life right now, and I'm thinking about mine too. I may be thinking that I'm really producing fruit, man. You know, I'm like, hey, man, God, I'm really pumping it out for the kingdom, right? But then what happens is when you think you're pumping it out for the kingdom and everything's great, what happens is the Father comes along by way of the Holy Ghost and says, I'll pick somebody else up now. We're not going to do that anymore. Okay. What you're doing, that's great. But guess what, sister? I'm going to take you out of that because I want something new. I want you to become more what? Productive. More productive. See, sometimes some of us, when God is pruning us, we don't like it. See, if trees could talk, they would say, ouch, right? But trees don't talk. Trees just get in line with what God has already ordained. But you and I, there are things in our lives. We can look at them and say, hey, I'm good in that area. I'm doing the best I can. God, you know what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I can. I'm living the best I know how. But then again, he's pruning things. You know why he's pruning them? So that we can become more what? Productive. So that we can bear what? More fruit. Amen. Okay. Got you. We're on the same page. Now verse 3. I don't want to skip this. He says to his disciples, Jesus says, now you are clean. Why? Through the word I have spoken unto you. See, that's why it's so important for us to read the word of God, but not just read the word of God, put the word of God in our hearts, not just there, but also put that word of God in our hearts and let it come out of our mouths. Because then that's the process. We receive God's word, we hide it in our heart, and then what do? We speak it out. So that's doing what? That's cleaning us. That's clean. We're being cleansed. Every time we're speaking God's word, we're being cleansed. Amen. Everyone follow me? Now look at verse 4. Here's the key. Jesus said what? Abide where? And what else? And I in you. Now look, here's the key. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Hold it right there. A branch, let's use the apple as an example. Here's an apple on a branch. What is that apple and branch connected to? A tree. But what is that tree connected to? The trunk. What is that trunk connected to? Roots. So in other words, if those roots were gone, that tree is what? Dead. So that's what Jesus is saying here. You see what he's saying? He says what? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it does what? Abide in who? The vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Now here's the punchline. We all understand that, and we all say that. We can even sing that in a song, right? If I abide in you and your word abides in me, right? Then I can ask what I want, right? Dun, 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 right? But now here's the key. That word abide is so important. Let me give you some definitions of that word. And I was kind of surprised when I saw these because I thought I knew what abide meant. So much for my college education. Here's a definition. To wait for. That's a meaning of abide. To endure without yielding. To withstand. Here's one that I know a lot of us Word of Faith guys don't like. To bear patiently. Now here's one I know some of us we got to work this one out. We're talking about abiding, right? Abide. To tolerate. That don't sound too good, right? Here's another definition of the word abide. To accept without objection. You got that? Because sometimes we accept things, right, that if it lines up, if pastor says something and it lines up with my agenda, amen, praise the Lord, right? But the minute they say something and it's not lining up with my agenda, I have an objection. Well, we don't say I have an objection. We say I have a question or I have a challenge with that. Can you clarify that, right? But really what it says here, to abide, is to do what? Accept without objection. So we want to abide in Christ, right? Because that's what he said. If you abide in me and I in you. So in other words, we need to get to the point that we're going to abide or we're going to accept without objection anything that the Father or Jesus tells us. Amen? Everyone got that? Now here's the word I like for abide. So write this one down. This is mine. All those are good, but this is the one I like. These two. To remain stable or fixed in a state. You know, too many of us, and I'm talking about us believers, us Christians, I'm not talking about the world because the world does what it wants to do. I'm not here to talk about them. I'm here to talk what God gives me to talk to you, okay, because we're brothers and sisters. Too many of us, we're not fixed. We're not stable. You know, we hear something and we get upset and we leave. And then after a while, you know, maybe they forgot about it or, you know, and then we come back in. I mean, I'm not just talking about here and us. I'm talking about in general. We have to learn to stay in place. We have to learn to stay fixed. We have to learn to abide. See, what happens is some of us, we're believing God for something and we got the scriptures and we're saying the right thing. And we're doing the right thing. But what happens is, and we're going to find out later in this lesson, sometimes we allow things to get us to back off. And we unhook. But you see, the Word of God tells us we're to do what? Jesus said, if you abide in me. In other words, if you remain in me, if you remain stable and fixed in me, he's going to remain stable and fixed in you. Okay? Now here's another one I like of abide. To continue in a place. See, we have to continue in a place. We have to have, you know, we have to stay. You know, you understand what I'm saying? What I mean by that is this. I mean, you're believing God for something. You have the scripture. You know what the scripture says. You're saying it. But now you're going to have to stay with it. And sometimes things are going to come against you, but you have to stay with it. I've seen many times with Pastor Clinton. As he had to stand against certain things with his health. He's our pastor, and he's taught us about healing. And I've seen him, times I'm walking him through the tunnel, and no one knows it because we're assisting him, but I'm hearing him groan as he's going up the steps. Because, you know, going up the steps to the sanctuary, and he goes to the piano. Nobody knows this. He goes over to the piano. He starts playing, and the anointing comes on him. Next thing you know, he's Pastor Clint, right? But nobody knew the fact that he had to stay. He had to make a decision that no matter how it felt, no matter what it looked like, he was going to stay on his position. Pastor Sarah is the same way. I seen her. I mean, it blessed me. I mean, I seen her with this last thing that the enemy tried to throw against her. I saw her come down the aisle. I was going to assist her, right? And she waved me off, like, you know, wave you off, okay. But I'm standing behind her. But I saw her come down the aisle. And mind you, what the doctor said, according to their diagnosis, according to what they knew, she shouldn't have been doing any of that. But she knew that she was called to be pastor of this church. She knew that she was called to stand in that office. And she knew that this was her time to come out in front of the congregation. And she came and stood. Now, a little shaky, a little wobbly, but that's not, we don't go by what we see. We go by what she believed. She believed she was going to be there. At the end of that service, went up into the lobby and received everybody and welcomed everybody in the congregation. Why? Because her heart is set, fixed. Amen? That comes from abiding in Christ. Amen? Everyone got that? Now, let's look at this. Now, in John chapter 15, let me read that same verse we were reading. Let me read that in the complete Jewish Bible. He says it this way. He says, I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch which is part of me but fails to bear fruit, he cuts off. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Right now, because of the word which I have spoken to you, you are pruned. Stay united with me, as I will with you. For just as the branch can't put forth fruit by itself apart from the vine, so you can't bear fruit apart from me. So now that's clue number one, if you're taking notes. If you want to be fruitful, we have to abide where? In the vine. So anything apart from Christ is unfruitful. You got that? So drugs, sex, and illicit sex, and all that kind of stuff, that's part of it. But I'm going to tell you right now. Remember the guy on 125th Street that I gave as an example? If God didn't tell him to do that, then guess what? That's unfruitful. You follow what I'm saying? So anything and everything. Now, here's another thing I want to share with you. The Holy Ghost gave it to me. Some of you are in corporate America or you're in secular jobs. God called you to be there. Don't you know that you can be fruitful? You are fruitful there. Because some people want to, I just want to serve the church. You know, I want to quit my job and serve the church. If God didn't tell you to do that, then you can go working in a church or a ministry and be unfruitful. Because Jesus didn't tell you to do that. So in other words, it's important for us. Now listen, I want you to listen very carefully. It's important for us to find out what the Father wants us to do. The Holy Spirit will direct you. Some of you have been called into those areas I just mentioned, the health profession, the legal profession, all of those areas. God's called you in that. To our young people today that are looking to go to college, you know, don't think that you sold out because now you're going to college and you want to major in political science or whatever. If God told you to do that, then you pursue it. Because then if you're doing what God called you to do, then you're going to be fruitful. But always remember this, though. We got to abide where? In the vine. Okay, everyone got that? So in other words, we should keep our mind on what? Keep your mind on the vine. So if you're keeping your mind on the vine, you'll turn out fine. Little rhyme there. Free of charge, okay? So let's keep on going here, okay? Let me read. I didn't finish this yet. Unless a person remains united with me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered and thrown in the fire where they are burned up. Verse 7, if you remain united with me and my words with you, then ask whatever you want and it will happen for you. This is how my Father is glorified, in your bearing much fruit. This is how you will be proven to be my, and this in the Greek it says telemehin, that means my disciple, okay? So in other words, God the Father desires us to do what? Bear much fruit. You know what brings glory to God? When us bearing what? More fruit. Amen, amen. I think you guys got my lesson. Now listen, there's a purpose for fruit, okay? Because I know we're talking about, and sometimes we're talking about generically, But there's a purpose for fruit. I want you to see that in the Bible, fruit has a purpose. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And let's look at verse 22. We're talking about bearing fruit. Amen? Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. Is everyone there? Does everyone know where Genesis chapter 1 is? No, sometimes people got these other Bibles, you know, got something else. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 22. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read that. And God did what? Blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the trees and let fowl multiply in the earth. Now, you're still in chapter 1. Move down to verse 28. Because in verse 26, it says, God says, let us make man in our image and likeness, right? But now move down to verse 28. And God did what? And God blessed them. And God said unto them, what? Be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. Now, here's a question for you, church. God did what? He blessed them, right? But what was the first thing he said? Be what? Be fruitful. So in other words, follow this. The first thing God told his creation, man, is to be what? Fruitful. Now, let me let you in on a little hint. If God said for you to be fruitful, guess what? You can be fruitful. If God looked at you and said, blue, be blue, then guess what you're going to be? Blue. But notice what he said here. God said what? Be fruitful and multiply. Now, keep this in mind. Go down to, we're still in Genesis. Move over to chapter 2 of Genesis. Because I want you to see this. I want to paint a picture for you. Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. Let's read that together. Is everyone there? Let's read it. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from heaven and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put man whom he had formed. Now hold it right there. Why do you think God put man in Eden? What? He needed a gardener, right? He needed a tiller. He needed a husbandman there, right? But notice the interesting thing. We're going to keep on reading, but notice the interesting thing that God placed everything in place, the plants and all of this, but he didn't let water come down because man wasn't there. You got that? In other words, I want you to catch this, because if you catch this, you're going to catch what I'm talking about. God made everything for his man. His man wasn't there yet, right? Verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, and also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now notice this, without staying on the point of being fruitful. If you notice this, before God pronounced a blessing, right? Don't you know that one of the evidences of God's blessing was what? Being fruitful. See, because something's not fruitful, it's cursed. Remember when Jesus went to that fig tree? What was he looking to get from that fig tree? Figs. He was looking for fruit, right? But when he didn't see no fruit, what did he do? He cursed that tree. See, and everybody thinks that's unusual. God's always been that way. Now, think about this for a minute. Your life. Adam and Eve, God formed, right? Your life. Don't you know that God formed you and created you to be fruitful? You have the capacity in you to be fruitful. So in other words, there's no such thing for the believer. There's no such thing for any of us to think of ourselves as being unproductive. We're always producing. I don't care. On the job, You should be producing on the job. In your home, you should be producing. In your community, you should be producing. In the church, you should be producing. Because God designed you that way. Say this with me. Say, I am blessed.
I am blessed.
I am fruitful.
I am productive.
Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
you are blessed.
You are fruitful.
You are productive.
Now, what's the purpose for fruit? What's the purpose of fruit? What does fruit provide? Nourishment, right? And also, it replicates, right? Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you go to the supermarket? Now, if I want to get apples and bananas and I ask you, where should I go? What section are you going to send me to? What? The produce. You got that? So in other words, even in its own name, fruit, even people of the world know that fruit produce. And they put it in what? The produce. A little tongue-tied here. The produce. All right? Now, here's something to think about. Here's what I want you to think about with fruit. There are some aspects to fruit. Now, let's look at these aspects to fruit, okay? Number one, every fruit has what? Seed. Right? That's why that's the trick. A banana. Is a banana a fruit? Why? It has seeds in it. Okay. All right. Ready. So now, we understand that one aspect of fruit is that every fruit, is a tomato a fruit or vegetable? It's a what? Then why they put it with the vegetables? But why is it a fruit? No, there's a reason. Because it has seed. Right? So in other words, you can have tomatoes with apples and, I don't want to get into that. That's the health kick stuff. Okay, now, we've realized that every fruit has seed, right? What's another thing that fruit has in it? Think about it. Water. Water. Okay? Now, what else does fruit need? I'm talking about these are things that fruit need. Let me change this. What does fruit need? Fruit needs a seed, right? It needs water. What else does it need?
Sunlight.
Okay. What else does it need? It needs soil. There you go. All right. Now, what else does seed, what else does fruit need? Soil, sunlight, what else?
Water.
We said water. What else does the fruit need? What? Roots. Okay, good. What else? Okay, let me ask you this question. Can we grow mangoes here in PA?
No.
Why not? Why not? Climate. There you go. Fruit needs climate, right? Okay, no, or we could say this. Proper climate. What's another thing fruit needs? Fruit grows in what? It grows in its seed. There you go. We can play charades, Joe. It grows in its season. Sometimes fruit grows in its season. Like right about now in June, what fruit is in season here? Watermelon's always in season, yeah. Getting us hungry now. And we spit those seeds, right? What else? What else? No, watermelon, what else? What else? Strawberries, what else? Blueberries, they're in season, right? Let me ask you this. In February, can you grow strawberries here in February? No, too cold, right? So in the climate, right? Okay, these are things that it needs, right? Now, here's something else about fruit. Each fruit has the ability to produce seeds. I'll give you an example. Like if we had an apple here, and if I was to cut the apple in half, in the core of the apple, what would be there?
Seeds.
But now think about this. Each one of those seeds would grow what? A tree. Right? A tree. So in other words, multiply, right? So now that seed would grow a tree. From that one apple, one apple seed from that apple would grow a tree. How many apples would grow on that apple tree? We don't know. Multiply it exponentially, right? Boom, right? We can't count it. Well, see, it's the same thing. Now, what I want you to look at, the same thing of fruit in the natural is fruit that God has placed in our lives. Number one, fruit has a seed. That seed is the word of God. The Bible calls it 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Peter called it the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Okay? Number two, water. We said fruit needs water, right? Water is the word of God spoken. That's why it says in Ephesians for husbands to water their wives, to cleanse them, water them with the washing of the word, right? We speak the word of God over them. Well, the fruit in your life, you have to speak to it. You have to speak it out, God's word. That's watering that word, amen? And we talked about another important thing. We talked about the soil. Soil is very important. In other words, in the parable of the sower, we'll look at that in a few moments in Mark chapter 4. Jesus talked about, really, he gave four soils, or four conditions, rather. The same word, the same seed, falling on different soils. We're going to take a look at that in a moment. Then we talked about climate, right? Because that's very important, too. Then we talked about season. There's a season for the fruit that's going to be bearing, that you're going to be bringing forth and bearing in your life. Sometimes there's a season to things. Right now, my season is to do this. But my season may change. Matter of fact, not may, it will change. When I first started out as a Christian, my season was here. Okay? But see, each and every one of us has a season. Each and every one of us has fruit. Okay? Let's keep on going. Season. There's always a due season with God. Always remember that. God does things in season. He's never ahead of himself or behind himself. The other thing about fruit that's important is his harvest. I didn't mention that, but let's say it now. Harvest. Harvest is so important. Because, see, we can have a big strawberry patch, and it's the season to pick it up, but we go fishing or we go play golf. And next thing you know, we come around August. Hey, Joe, let's go back and harvest that strawberries. What are we going to find? What? Rotten. It's going to be rotten, right? So in other words, there's a harvest to our fruit. So your fruit's going to produce a harvest. Now, let me just deviate for a moment here because we have parents here. My second son, Anthony, my youngest son, rather, when he was a little guy, a little tyke, he was like my oldest son, Richard, and parents, you can attest this. This number, I call him number one son. Number one son, I can say, number one son, go down to the block, go to the store, get a quart of milk, a loaf of bread, and come on back. And here's the money and bring back the change. Number one son, Richard, would go out the door, do that, and come back, right? Number two son, Anthony. If I gave him the money and said, Anthony, go get the milk, go get the bread, and come on back. First of all, I don't know when he's going to come back. Then when he comes back with, I don't know if it's a little, I asked him to get a container of milk. He comes with a little carton, maybe something, and he did something else with the money. But that's the way he was. One child you could keep an eye on, you know, let him go and give him leeway, and the other one you got to stay close, you know. So with him, I ran into a lot of discipline things that I had to, you know, discipline him. And I said, Anthony, if you do this, blah, 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 you're going to get a spanking, right? So he wouldn't do it, and he's going to get the spanking. Now, one of the things that helped me, because I was, you know, I was like really torn up about this. I'm saying, man, I'm getting tired of beating this kid. I hate to say it that way because now it doesn't sound good. Spanking this kid because he keeps doing what you're not asking him to do. So now, but what happened was one day I came across a scripture in Hebrews. Let's turn there. I'm deviating for a minute, but I'll get back on track. I think some parents need to hear this. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, first of all, let me just share something. I do not believe in beating kids, okay? So I don't want anybody to think, oh, Deacon Floyd said it's okay to beat your kid. I'm not saying that. I'm saying discipline, right? And, you know, this one didn't listen, you know. The other one, if I tell him, he'd cry, and, you know, he'd do what you ask. This one, you had to, okay. So anyway, I went to Hebrews. This helped me, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Make sure I got the right scripture. Now, where is it? Where is that scripture? Yeah, which one is that? That's 10? It's in 12? Okay, 12. Okay, 12:24, I think it is. 12:8? No, hold on. Hold on, let's take a look. No, that's not, isn't it? We're on track to it. It says, no chastening seems good at the time, seems pleasant at the time. 11. What? 11? 11. Yeah, there you go, that's it, thank you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, in the NIV, anybody got an NIV version? Can I borrow it for a second? Oh, now I'm going to let you read it then. Come, get him a mic. Get Millie a mic. Because I want you to... Now, we're going to get you a mic. Hold on, Millie. Because I want you to hear this because we're talking about being fruitful, right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. In the NIV. I like it in the NIV.
12, verse 11.
Because then you're talking about faith there. 11. Chapter 12, verse 11.
Okay, just bear with me here. Okay. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it.
Now, that's what I used to share with my son. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it got to the point... Okay, thank you, Millie. Pass the mic that way. It got to the point with him that, you know, I don't want to... It becomes one of those things where you're spanking him and you're spanking him. And I'm asking myself, God, what's going on here, right? But whatever it was the chastening. See? But that chastening wasn't pleasant at the time. So what I used to tell him, I say, Anthony, what I'm doing here is I want you to notice because Daddy loves you. But what I'm doing is I'm producing a harvest of righteousness in you. This is producing a harvest of righteousness. And I'm going to tell you, now listen, everyone's laughing. But the truth is this. Today, that young man, he's 35 years old, right? A 35-year-old man who loves God. I can't remember how we got over that. I wonder how we got over. But I see a harvest of righteousness being produced in him. So in other words, what I'm just sharing with you this. Sometimes you may think, oh, God's a meanie. Or some of you, you know, young people, you think your parents are hard and mean. How could they do it? You know, but no, we're looking to produce a harvest of righteousness in our children. And that harvest is what? Fruit, right? Amen. Let's get back to our lesson. Okay? Now, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Because remember I talked about, we're going to talk about that condition. Because I want you to see. See, because remember we talked about, so far we discussed that God's word, right, produces fruit in us. Because we're going to abide in Christ, right? We also understand that the Father, because he loves us, he chastens us. So he prunes some things away from us, right? But now let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. How many of you still with me? Okay. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Verse 14 to 20. Is everyone there? Jesus is speaking, right? And let's see what he has to say. Jesus says, the sower sows the word. All right, I hear people still turning. I'll wait. Because I want you to read it with me. Okay. Are we there now? Okay. Let's read. The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now let me ask you this question. Was the word sown? Did this person hear it? Let's keep on. But what happened? Satan did what? He came immediately and did what? Took away that which was sown in their hearts, right? Verse 16, let's keep on going. And these are they which are sown on what? Stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. And have what? Know what? Someone said it here about trees and what? Roots, right? So they have no root in themselves. Let's keep on going, right? And so endure for what? But for a time. And afterward, when what? When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are what? Offended. See, that's why it's so important, church. You follow this? The word was sown in that first person, right? But the ground it fell on, he allowed Satan to take it away, right? This person, they called it what? Stony ground, right? But what happened? They heard the word. They was with their Bibles. They were marking it up saying, man, we're going to the church where the word is being taught and the power of God being manifested. But then they heard something. And what happened? They got offended. See, that's why it's so important for us not to allow offense. I don't mean offense, but offense. You know, offense. No, it's so important. See, because what happens is sometimes people get offended. They hear something, they get offended and walk out. And guess what happened? When you got offended, the word that was working in you ceased. Because Jesus is telling us climates, right? Conditions of the heart, right? Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among what?
Thorns.
Now listen to the thorny people. Such as do what? Hear the word. And what happens? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things does what? Enters in and does what? Chokes the word. And it becomes what? Unwhat? You mean to tell me the word can become unfruitful? Notice what he says here. If you sown among thorns, right? What happens? The cares of this world. That's why it's vitally important for us, don't get caught up in what the world's getting caught up in. See, because what happens if you watch CNN, and I'm not making fun of CNN, but if you're watching CNN, if you're on CNN on the computer and all this stuff, if you ever notice they flash up disasters, right? I mean, a disaster, unfortunately, though, but an earthquake in some place you don't even know about, right? But there's an earthquake there, and three people got killed in a horse. Now, I'm just trying to show you that. But then we start to, what's those poor people? And then you hear about the economy. Then you hear about now the presidential thing running. They're going to tell you this. This group's going to say that. Don't get caught up in that. And then another one is, you can be all you can be. Here's three steps to becoming a millionaire. All you have to do is dial 111-111, and we guarantee you in 30 days, you can become a millionaire. Wouldn't you like to be a millionaire? Wouldn't you like to live on the French Riviera? Deceitfulness of what? Of riches. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a millionaire. In fact, some of the most prosperous millionaires and billionaires are believers. So we're not against that. But you see, we're not going to allow the deceitfulness of riches. I know some people in my life personally who were involved in business ventures, and they were good people, very good people. But their pursuit, I kept hearing their pursuit. I'm going to be rich. I got to do this, that. And they had this five-year plan, right? But here's what happened. In 5 years, the person was rich. But in 5 years and 1 month, he was dead. I'm telling you the truth. Dead. Dead as a doornail. So what did that do for him? Nothing. Deceitfulness of riches. But what does that all do? It chokes the word and makes it what? Unfruitful. That's why we got to watch out for that, right? Now, look at verse 20. Now, this is, say this, say, I am. A verse 20 believer.
Believer.
Let's read it. And these are they which are sown on what?
Good ground.
Remember we talked about soil, ground? Such as does what? Hear the word and what else? Receive it. Now, hold it. You hear the word and you receive it. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to produce, right? Here it is. And bring forth what?
Fruit.
Bring forth what?
Fruit.
Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Amen? Now, follow this. Jesus was talking about the word. The sower sowing the word, right? But he gave you four conditions, four soils. For lack of a better illustration, four types of soil that seed fell into. So now, was the failure in the word?
No.
The failure was in the soil, the heart. That's why it's so important. Amen? Now, let's move along with this, okay? Now, that raises a question. What type of fruit should we be producing? Because we've been talking about fruit, and I've been talking generically. But now, what kind of fruit should we be producing? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Okay? Is everyone there? Okay, I'll wait for you to get there. Are you getting anything this morning? Okay, praise the Lord. I'm getting something too. I mean, sometimes when you're up here teaching and sharing, the insight that the Holy Ghost gives you, because he's the teacher to the church. Is everyone there? Let's read it. Paul speaking to the church in Colossae, he says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Oh, chapter 1, verse 10. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Chapter 1, verse 10. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read it. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being what? Fruitful in what? Every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, in the New Living Translation, that same verse says this. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. So in other words, doing good work as it relates to the vine, Christ, is a type of bearing fruit. Everyone got that? Now turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, excuse me, verse 11. Paul writing to the church in Philippi, right? Is everyone there? Okay, let's read. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Now, let me read that same verse in the Amplified. It says it this way. That you may abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that His glory may be both manifested and recognized. Didn't that song say it? And the glory of the Lord is doing what? Filling this place? The New Living Translation, that same verse, it says it this way. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. So in other words, just by the virtue of the fact that I'm going to live my life for Christ and do what He says, that's producing fruit. Amen? God's Word translation says it this way. He says, Jesus Christ will fill your lives with everything that God's approval produces. Your lives will then bring glory and praise to God. So in other words, church, when we allow the Word of God to have free course in our lives, this produces fruits. Amen? Turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 14. We're getting ready to wind this up. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. Titus chapter 3, verse 14. I'm just giving you these scriptures because I want you to see that what I was talking about and what Jesus was saying in John chapter 15, the Holy Spirit is sharing these to us as believers. Amen? Titus chapter 3, verse 14. It says it this way, and let ours also learn to maintain what? Good works for necessary uses, that they be not what? Unfruitful. Okay? Now, let me read that in the Amplified, because I like how it says it. In the Amplified, that same verse, it says it this way. And let our own people really learn to apply themselves to do good deeds, to honest labor and honorable employment, so that they may be able to meet necessary demands whenever the occasion may require, and not be living idle and uncultivated and unfruitful lives. So in other words, what Paul was saying there, he's saying to Titus, but to us, we should be in such a place that in your community where you live and as you're walking with Christ, when a need arises, you meet it. We meet that need. And I've always found this with people. When you meet people's needs, they want to know, well, where you come from, or what do you do, or who are you? And then you tell them, you're a Christian? Then the next thing they ask you is this, where do you go to church? Right? Because you're good deeds. So we should be good deed doers, right? Now, turn back to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read it for time's sake, okay? Because I want to read these real quick, okay? Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. He says it this way, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The Amplified, he says it this way, that you may walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit, hear that? Bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing. Say, I'm growing and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm gaining a deeper, a fuller, a clearer insight to his plan and purpose for my life. Now listen to this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says it this way, and we always say this when we're doing the ministry of giving. Paul says, not that I desire a gift, but I desire what? Fruit that may abound to your account. In the Amplified, it says it this way, not that I seek or am eager for your gift, but I do seek and am eager for the gift which increases to your credit, the harvest of blessing that is accumulating to your account. Don't you know that there's, in our giving, when we give, that's a type of us bearing fruit. So Paul was saying, or the Holy Ghost is saying to Paul here, you know, it's like every time you're giving as God directs you to give, you're not only giving, because that's what Paul was telling the church in Philippi. I don't want you to give to me because I desire a gift. He said, but what's more important, I want to see fruit abound in your account. See, what Paul was saying was, what you give me is not important. But what I desire to see in when you give, that fruit will be abounding to your account, right? Now, let me keep on going here. James chapter 3. James, the apostle, said this. Chapter 3, verse 18. He says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace with them that make peace. The Amplified, he says it this way. And the harvest of righteousness, of conforming to God's will in thought and deed, is the fruit of the seed, sown in peace by those who work for and make peace in themselves and in others, that peace, which means concord and agreement and harmony between individuals with undisturbedness. I know there's a lot of words here in this Amplified. In a peaceful mind from fears and agitating passions and moral conflict. In other words, what he was saying was this. Our peace, the peace that God has, that's a type of fruit. You got it? Oh, that's James chapter 3, verse 18. Okay? Now, anything we do, as I said earlier, anything we do apart from the vine, which is Christ, is unfruitful work. We've been designed by the Father God to produce fruit in this earth, right? We are people of purpose and we are productive. And our purpose in this life, your purpose, my purpose, our purpose in this life is to produce fruit. Now let's close with this. Turn back to John chapter 15, verse 16. And I'll close with this. Jesus is speaking to his disciples as we started out our lesson this morning. And he sums it up with them by saying this. In John chapter 15, verse 16, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should what? Remain. You got that? Our fruit, the things we do for Christ, will remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now let me read that in the Amplified. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you and I have planted you that ye might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, he will give it to you. Church, what God is saying to us this morning is this. In this congregation, right now, this morning, each and every one of you are evidences of fruit. Each and every one of you are fruit. Someone labor, fruit. You're bearing fruit. Fruit just doesn't sit by itself. Fruit multiplies. Each and every one, I want you to think about this for a moment. This place we're sitting in is a fruit of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach as they were listening to the Holy Ghost and went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and they the Lord developed some things in them, and then they went and started the church. Each and every one of us are a fruit of that. But now I want to share this with you. Each and every one of you are fruit. And I see the fruit grow. If you can stand from my vantage point and see what I'm seeing, I see fruit. I see fruitfulness. I was so blessed with John. John, he came up for the men's fellowship on Saturday. And when I heard him speak, I saw the fruit of this ministry. I heard the fruit of this church from his lips. I see the fruit in each and every one of your lives. I see God doing greater things in each and every one of you, because you are abiding in the vine. Continue to abide in the vine. Don't let time, don't let this, that, and the other get in the way. And the news here this morning to us is this: because God loves us, because he loves us, if something he says that's got to go, let it go. And that may, and I'm saying this to you, that may mean people. That may mean family members. That may mean even children. I'm not talking about children being small. I'm talking about children after they grow. I want to be clear with that, because some people say, oh, yeah, the kid's getting on my nerves, throw them out. No. No, you can't do that. You're stuck. And young people, you're stuck with your parents for right now. But the good news is this. Here's what I want to share with you. The good news is this, is God loves us so much that he chastens us, not because he wants to hurt us, not because he wants to take away our fun, but God chastens us because we're his. That's evident that you're his. Now, the King James Version calls it a bastard, right? And a bastard means, a bastard means an illegitimate child, right? But you know what? We're not illegitimate children. And I'm going to tell you right now, you may have been born in an illegitimate birth, but you know what? You're in Christ. So it makes no difference where you came from. It makes no difference how you got here. The fact remains today that you're here, and this is your time, and this is your...